Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on the FM or AM dial, it is 92.9, of course, FM, but also 680 AM. But you can also listen anytime, anywhere, on demand, on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen, so go check it out to stay up to date with everything happening here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producing the program. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is each and every Friday, is, of course, the host of VSiN Primetime. He's host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. Also, don't forget, the nation's premier pregame Saturday show. It's VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate. It'll air live starting at 9 a.m. Central Time tomorrow on VSiN, on Twitter, at 1TimMurray. Tim, good day, sir.
If people keep saying it, they'll believe it.
I mean, it's the shame. I wish I had the self-promotion gene. I do think it would probably, in our field, I think it probably helps.
And it definitely does, and I'm more of the self-deprecating style.
Yeah, I mean, I went to boys' school, so if you can't take a joke, you can't survive.
By the way, when you went to college, so was your high school single sex?
Yes.
Okay, so mine was as well. And when I went to college, it was when I told my buddies that I went to an all-guys school, it was like I had six heads. They're like, what? Like, did you even see a woman? I'm like, yeah, there are other,
there are all girls schools.
Yeah. Yes. Like, at least where I grew up in the D.C. area. I mean, so it's obviously.
I mean, our sister school, we literally leased them their campus for like $1 a day or like $1 a year or something like that.
Yeah, so in D.C., there's, I don't know, like 7-8 all guys and maybe like 6-7 all girls schools. Like, it's very, my sister went to an all girls school. It's very common. I mean, look, did I get girls in high school? No.
Yeah, no.
But it wasn't because I went to an all-guys school.
Correct.
It's because I was 6'6", had red hair, and weighed 170 pounds.
Yeah, I had the reverse. I was 5'6", and ran my mouth. you know what I mean? That was always my tagline. Hi, I'm Jeffrey. I make a horrible first impression.
And how you talk on the radio.
Correct.
For a living.
Correct. I am used to talking with nobody listening, so I am built for this. All right, let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. We'll start with what are we going to be talking about on Monday. So, of course, we'll preview the weekend. Also, Blake Topmeyer going to join us here in about 30 minutes or so. We'll get his thoughts on everything happening in college football and the SEC. Then at 3:05, we'll get into the list. We'll get Tim's card. I'll go through my card as well. We'll get into some games of the weekend, and we'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But I guess let's quickly do some Grizzlies real quick, because also we now have the official breaking news, I believe from Sham Sharania. Joel Embiid, the Grizzlies play Philly on Saturday night. I guess it was trending towards him playing, but it is now officially out on Saturday night. So I don't know if you saw how... I don't know if you saw the kind of game Giannis had last night, but certainly that's, I guess, good news for the Grizzlies. But I really wanted to start with this because last night it did feel like nationally was the Ja Morant breakout game, and he was phenomenal. I mean, he had a triple-double in, I think, 21 minutes. I think it was the eighth quickest triple-double in NBA history, so obviously it's franchise record. But the thing is, I feel like I've been stumping for him that I thought he's played well all year. Like, I was glad to see him get some recognition. But the other thing I wanted to talk about with you, are the Bucks quiet quitting?
Dude, this is wild. So I don't know how many of your listeners know, but I do a daily radio hit in Milwaukee, about 45 to 50 minutes on it's a show called The Bob and Brian Show. It's been going on for like 35 years up there, and I just do the sports. We actually didn't even talk Bucks today.
Timmy, the sports guy.
Yeah, basically. And it's
never
it's
forget, wild. That's how Kimmel got his start.
Well, I mean, the first ever sports guy on The Bob and Brian Show was Dan Patrick. So
who?
I guess I'm... yeah, he's a decent guy. I don't know if you know the name. So they, I don't get it, man. I kind of was in on the Bucks preseason. Like, I was like, I think this is going to be a turnaround. I had bought all of the Doc Rivers excuses that they, you know, that Dame wasn't in shape a year ago because he was getting traded and everything that he had spewed out there. I know I shouldn't have, but I ate it. And now I'm like, yikes, man. Like, this team. And look, I don't want to take away from the Grizzlies'
I don't either, but like,
they
you
beat
can't,
their butt. But
you couldn't watch this game without thinking. And, you know.
It was almost, I don't know how you felt about it going in.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a get right game for the Bucks because the Grizzlies had been so decimated with injuries. I didn't think they were going to have anyone that could guard Dame. I thought Giannis, like, I got half right. I thought Giannis and Dame would have big games. Well, Giannis did. Dame was, that's a true no-show of a no-show. But,
how do you have a starting lineup where Giannis goes for 37 and 11 and is even on the plus-minus?
Yeah.
And then everyone else in the starting lineup is minus 22, minus 35, minus 29, and minus 23. Like, that is hard to do, to have a guy starting and to have that number. But no, I said it on Wednesday night on VSiN. It was kind of the disappointment bowl.
Like, yeah, agreed.
Memphis had gotten off to this slow start. They lose. I'm sure that you guys talked about it a bit about the loss to Brooklyn. It's like, what the hell was that? You were 12
well, and then right after the loss to the Bulls, in which you blew a 20-point lead. Like, it was. I mean, I think realistically, back to back, maybe the two worst losses in Taylor Jenkins' tenure.
And I kind of thought the get right spot for Memphis was that Brooklyn game.
Yeah.
But then you look at what the Bucks have done, and they've lost to the Bulls, the Nets. Sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
And then lost by 23 last night. So yeah, I don't know. And oh, by the way, once again, let's go back to the Grizzlies here in just a second. But the Bucks have a home and home upcoming with the best cover team in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are destroying teams right now. Good luck.
Well, like, that's the other thing. Like, I was thinking about this, and I mean, is what is happening to Doc at the end, does that, like, is it hurting, like, his, like, what we think of him?
I don't know. Because I'll say this, Doc's very good on television and very good talking. So I think no matter what, he's got a championship and he'll find a job, whether it's, you know, blabbing with Simmons or going on ESPN, whatever it is, he'll find a job. I do kind of feel like in the basketball circles,
yeah.
And I wouldn't even consider myself in the basketball circle. I like the NBA, but I'm nowhere near, you know, one of these guys who covers the league that closely. I feel like in the basketball circles, he's been kind of like a punchline for a while now. You know, since the 08 team, the Clippers run, where they had so many great regular seasons and never were able to get anywhere in the postseason, right? I think the deepest they made, did they make it to a conference finals?
No, I think they had like a 3-1 lead maybe in the second round, and everyone thought they were going to get to the conference finals, and they got beat. They lost three straight.
So it just feels like Doc has now become kind of this punchline of, hey, you know, congrats on winning the championship with the big three, but, and then he went to Philadelphia and it was a, fair to say, a disaster. I mean, you know, they remember that series in the year after COVID, the 21 season. I think it was his first season, and they lost to the Hawks in the second round. Like, it was a disaster. Like, this, his run in Philadelphia, good regular seasons, never made it to the conference finals. I mean, look, you look at his tenure since he left Boston, and he's never made it out of the conference semifinals with really good teams.
Yeah,
like, he hasn't been given bad teams.
Well,
like,
he's kind of handpicked his teams.
Right, and he kind of, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he figured out a way to get into Milwaukee. Like, whoever he convinced that. Adrian Griffin, I know the story's out of there.
Don't forget, remember, he was getting hired as like a consultant.
Right.
He pulled the Dick Cheney. Like, you know who the best guy for this job is? Me.
But yeah. So but I don't want it to take away from Memphis, because you're right. I mean, that was a great win for Memphis, and hopefully, you know, getting right, and Ja was phenomenal, and you know, at the end of the day, you still beat a team with Giannis, who I almost bet preseason to win the MVP, and I'm glad I didn't, because his numbers are going to be awesome, but apparently the team that he plays for is going to stink.
And, like, that is always the caveat of, you know, it was Halloween last night. Like, historically, this is when the NBA starts, and we're already into game five. But the thing that the thing that just stands out about Milwaukee is, like, I know they're missing Middleton. But it's
Middleton's
like,
never there.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, is that really an excuse? Like,
he's gone like 80% of the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go ahead. But like, and then their draft was like, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like, Milwaukee doesn't have any money to go out in free agency. So why don't you get like a Tyler Kolek or one of these guys that's a fourth or fifth year senior, maybe doesn't have a high ceiling, but has
can play some basketball.
And they go out and get two dudes who average like 2 points a game in like the G League with like high upside. I'm like, okay. I mean, if that's the way you want to go about it, I mean, knock yourself out. But it just didn't make a ton of sense to me. But, you know, hey, if the Bucks stink, I don't think that's any worry for Grizzly fans, especially because they're in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, you've got other fish to fry in the West.
No, I mean, that's as bad as the Grizzlies were last year. They swept them. And so now that's three straight.
Wow.
All right, let's turn our attention. So college hoops, surprise everybody, it starts on Monday.
Yes, sir. Got some good ones too, including we talked about it on Tuesday. We got Memphis has got one of the four
Missouri,
best games.
Yeah. There's no question. So we'll have that. We'll I assume we'll talk more about that on Monday, because let's be real, we don't have lines yet. Like, normally in college basketball, we basically lines either the night before or basically day of. So we don't have lines for that. Here's what I was thinking about with college football this weekend. Is it possible the rankings, the first rankings that we get on Tuesday, are more interesting than any of the games that we have this weekend?
Ooh, I like that.
Because there is obviously one big one.
Yes, there is one big one. And I know that everybody is very excited about Northwestern at Purdue.
Yes, and Purdue has a favorite.
Yes, Purdue has a favorite. Yes, Penn State and Ohio State should be good. I'm hoping it is actually boring, and we'll get into that later.
Is that the under?
Maybe. But there's also part of me, I think you're onto something, because I think Tuesday, as we've discussed, we all know the importance of Tuesday. Maction returns, and the playoff rankings come out. There's nothing else going on Tuesday.
I always have Lisa Loeb stay in my head whenever the first Maction game comes on. You know?
Explain.
You say only hear what I want to, like, and it's just like it's just when it comes back, like, I'm just like so happy, like, stay.
Oh, I thought you would have Mark Morrison.
Return of the Mac. A little too popular for that. That could be the Mac's thing, but I will say
I remember during COVID when the Mac was one of the conferences that initially was going to play like spring football.
Yeah,
and then they came back. And their first game, they went to break with Return of the Mac as the bump. And
yeah.
I'm like, yes.
That's knowing your brand.
That's good producing right there. I am very, and I know the word, and I use it too much, it's a crutch of mine, but I am very fascinated by Tuesday and what the rankings are going to look like, because I don't know assuming, and I kind of hope that they do lose, hint, hint, but assuming Indiana wins.
Yep.
Assuming BYU can't lose. They got a bye.
Yep.
Iowa State, I believe they play this
weekend. They have Tech. They're more on them later. They play Tech off of, yeah. They're off a bye and they host Tech.
There's a lot of these like, shouldn't they, are like, you get your high-pitched voice, like, should they be higher? Like, Texas, we think they're good, but have they proven that they're good? And then it's like A&M, if they beat South Carolina on Saturday, they've got a head-to-head loss to Notre Dame, but Notre Dame lost in Northern Illinois. What's better, a good win or a bad loss? Like, it's there's a lot of intricacies to this. Like, BYU, I think a lot of us who follow the sport are like, nah, I don't think they're that good. But they're 8-0, and they have a win over Kansas State and SMU. Like, they've got two of the better, like, combined. Yes. They have two of the better wins of, like, when you look at a resume and the two top things are out there, they got two of the best things out there when you combine them together. Like, the eye test doesn't necessarily. However, they went to Central Florida as an underdog. I fell for it. They beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, it was nice to know, because we both, that was like a here come get us. And I showed restraint. I'm not taking Minnesota this weekend. I'm not taking Illinois, but we did the same thing. But it was nice to know, like, in the first quarter, you're like, oh, this is dead.
Yeah, it was, this is how this game is, yes, going to play out.
Yeah, it's, gotcha, like, oh, the Vegas got fooled too.
So, like, I mean, and then you've got all of the scenarios, not necessarily with the rankings, but you've got these tiebreaker scenarios where you look at the ACC, you look at the Big 12, you look at the SEC. The Big 10 should sort of figure itself out if kind of the winner of Ohio State, Penn State will more than likely play Oregon, I think, as it all kind of plays out, unless Indiana beats Ohio State. Then it gets really weird. So, no, I'm really curious about Tuesday. However, I think there could be wackiness this weekend. I think it's another one of those weekends where you write it off and you're saying that there's so many, like, I think there's like only,
I think it's 37. I think there's 37 games on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a very, very,
we don't
light
even, the last kickoff is 7 p.m. Central, so 5.
Super lame.
So, I mean, you're basically, if you're on the Pacific time zone, like, you're basically watching the end of college football and then going to dinner.
I know. I don't like it.
Yeah. So I guess the other thing that I was thinking about too, because, you know, one thing that when we look back on what happened to Florida State last year, and forgetting the merits of whether or not they got screwed or whatnot, I mean, you and I are pretty much on the same thing. It's like the games have to matter. Like, you know, like,
yep.
But what happened, happened. I still thought the bigger deal was the committee basically told us, we don't value the ACC. We don't think it's in the same league as these other two. And I think part of the problem that we're seeing with the Big 12 and all these teams that are, you know, having very good starts, and it's almost like, yeah, it's happening in the Big 12, so did it really count? I'm curious to know if the committee's going to feel the same way, because while I hope it doesn't happen, if Ohio State loses on Saturday to Penn State, and it's a field goal game, it's a short, sure, it's a three-point line, like it is within the... Listen, James Franklin doesn't have big wins, but neither does Ryan Day. So one of them is going to win the game.
Yep.
If Ohio State loses, and let's say like it's another, like, let's say they get beat by a field goal. Like, are they going to sit there and go, well, Ohio State has two losses against, you know, possibly the number one and number two team on the both on the road by a combined 4 points. We're not going to dock Ohio State for that.
Well, let me ask you this to stick with that. Okay, yeah. let's play the scenario. Ohio State loses to Penn State, and Indiana beats Michigan State.
All right.
So Indiana would be 9-0. Ohio State would be 6-2. Two very good losses, arguably, to the two best teams in the country. I'm saying arguably. I don't believe that, but arguably.
I mean, I think it's entirely possible if Penn State wins and Oregon doesn't lose to Michigan.
They're,
I think,
1-2.
It's entirely, yes, that they'd be 1-2.
So let's say it's 1-2. They have losses to 1-2, but they have two losses. Is the committee really going to say, well, you know, Ohio State, they should be better, even though they have a common opponent in Nebraska, and Indiana beat them by 49 at home, and Ohio State needed a late touchdown to beat them at home? Like, I think Now, if Ohio State beats Penn State, that win trumps anything that Indiana has. But, like, are we really going to do it? Like, the AP pollsters, like, Ohio State should not be 9 ranks ahead of Indiana. And I don't really care about the AP poll, but there are some certain things about the AP poll. I'm like, really?
Well, I mean, I think it's part of the problem that BYU is having. Like, set aside whether or not you and I would power rate them as a top 5 team. They have been doing it on the field. And they're undefeated, and they got a 0 next to their name. So how much is
And they beat Kansas State, who's 17, and SMU, who's 20. If SMU beats Pitt this weekend, which I think they will.
Fingers crossed.
If SMU beats Pitt this weekend, they're 8-1. Kansas State is 7-1. Kansas State plays Houston. They'll win that game. So you're looking at a win over 2 8-1 teams ranked in the top 20. I get it. I don't think BYU is better than Texas A&M on a neutral. They aren't. Per power ratings. They aren't better than Alabama. They aren't better than LSU. But as you pointed out, games have to matter. And BYU beat SMU in their house, by the way, and also beat Kansas State. And BYU deserves to be ranked highly. And what's going to be so intriguing about this whole thing moving forward is BYU's strength of schedule moving forward, it's pretty easy. At Utah, Kansas, Arizona State, Houston. Like, they're going to be a favorite in every game moving forward. I'm not saying that they're guaranteed to win all of those games, but if they go 12-0.
If this season's taught us anything, that they're not. But yes, I mean, at the same time, they're going to be favored in all those games.
And then we have a discussion of if they're 12-0 and they lose the Big 12 championship game.
Ooh, boy.
Do they get in?
I guess the only way, like, that's kind of what I'm like.
That's taking a spot away from the SEC, from the ACC. Notre Dame, by the way, is trending towards getting in. So that's another spot taken away from a conference. Like, we know you live in SEC country. You know the SEC ain't going to be happy if they only get 3 teams in. Like, there's a lot of football still to be played. November gets wacky. And whenever we try to play this game, we know better because things get weird and teams lose games. And that's the beauty of this sport. But right now, Notre Dame is a minus 200 favorite to make the college football playoff. BYU, I think, is in the same realm. Like, you're looking at 2 Big 12 teams. You're looking at, more than likely, 2 ACC teams. Both of those conferences were over under 1.5 preseason. And if they're both getting 2 in, and Notre Dame gets in, and the G5 gets a game, that's 6 spots, boys and girls. Like, you're looking at 3 for the Big Ten and 3 for the SEC, and that's a lot of grumpy people.
Well, and then I'm also wondering, though, what if basically they're saying the Big Ten and the SEC are what matters, and basically they're treating the other leagues. I mean, because while I think Clemson has passed the eye test, like, we can do the same thing with Clemson's. Like, what is Clemson's actual resume right now?
I think Clemson's a fascinating discussion because I bought in on Clemson, like, after the Georgia game. I said, look, they are not that bad. I think they'll be fine. And now, while everyone now is bought in, I'm like, are they that good, though? Because they've played nobody. And now the next 3 weeks are Louisville, who I think is a bit of a fraud. However,
yeah, I wish I could trust them more.
They got some talent. Well, you shouldn't. They're 0-5 against the spread the last 5 weeks or last 5 games. Then they go on the road to Lane Stadium, overrated. But it's still Lane Stadium. Is that going to be a night game? I don't know. I think they've announced the time for that game. And then they play Pitt, also overrated. But they actually have their 3 most challenging games since the Georgia game coming up in a row here. So Clemson should be 12-0. Going into the ACC championship game, but they've got some challenges. And oh, by the way, when we're talking more from the playoff standpoint, if Clemson runs the table in the ACC, they still got to play South Carolina, who certainly is a team that many, including yours truly, thinks could beat Texas A&M this weekend.
I think the other thing I'm curious about is, like, what do they do with Alabama? What are they going to do with, I think you're right, Texas, I think, is an interesting question. But, like,
Alabama as in the first rankings or as at the end of the day? Because right now they've got 2 losses and they should be ranked where they are. However, they play LSU in what is, if LSU A&M wasn't an elimination game, Bama LSU is 1,000,000% an elimination game.
I think so, but I also leave room for what if a bunch of teams just start taking L's and then you know what I mean? Like,
certainly possible.
I guess the other thing with Alabama, it's like they're going to be a two-loss team. Their two losses are by a combined, what I think was it, 5 to Vandy and then 4 to
touchdown.
A touchdown. Yeah, they kicked the field goal. So your two losses are a combined 11 points, both on the road.
Georgia.
And you probably have the best win. I guess you get, I mean,
Georgia at Texas is probably the best win right now.
Okay, so you have one of the,
But one of the top three wins.
Yeah, so you have one of the three or four best wins of the year. Like, I'm curious to know, like, who is going to be the top one loss team? Who's going to be the top two loss team? Because while the...
And you got to remember this, too. Like, how does Vanderbilt end the year, right?
For sure.
Because when they lost to Vanderbilt, it was like, oh, my God, they just lost. That was like, there were discussions, inaccurately, but questioning, like, was this just as bad as Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois?
I'm
like,
No.
Notre Dame lost at home to a MAC team who kind of sucks, and Vanderbilt, at one point, a couple weeks later, ended up being ranked, and you lost to them on the road. But Vanderbilt, you know, do they help you out this weekend? Do they get that win over Auburn? I think for Alabama, at 10-2, you're feeling okay, because you'd have a win at LSU over Georgia and two losses that are two losses, but they're not really bad losses. But then if you're Bama, you kind of need some carnage there in the Big 12. You kind of need some carnage in the ACC. You would love for USC to beat Notre Dame in the finale of the season, or Army, or whatever it is. You know, that I just... Yeah, I agree. I think 10-2 with wins over Georgia and LSU on the road, you'd be like, they're fine. And maybe they would be, but it doesn't seem so easy with a lot of these teams lurking around with zero losses.
Yeah, and while the only rankings that actually matter are the last one, the final one.
Yep.
They do kind of give you, all right, here's how we think. Like, you can tell each committee... Like, they kind of, when they start explaining the stuff, you can kind of see what they're valuing. Now, granted, they can talk out of both sides of their mouths, like, because in the end, like, they put in who they want to put in, and so they kind of justify it however they want to justify it. But you do start to notice, okay, patterns. And I think sometimes people get hung up on exactly what they said about one team, and, well, why didn't this apply with the other teams? Like, what you kind of have to realize, like, they put teams in tiers, and then they kind of rank the tier, and then they move on. And so what I'm curious to know is, will we get some tells? Because I think it is possible. I think we're overlooking this. I think it's possible they might end up just saying the Big Ten and the SEC, because of the strength of these leagues, like, they're going to be treated differently, even more so than we think that they already are.
I think the worst case scenario for those two conferences is for BYU and Iowa State to be 12-0 into their championship game, and for Clemson and Miami to be 12-0 and 11-1 respectively. I think that is the worst case scenario, because are you really going to dock one of those teams for losing their conference championship game all the way out of the top, 11-12, because depending on where the G5 team will fall in there, that to me is what's going to be pretty interesting. And also the Notre Dame factor, where, you know, they've got a win over Texas A&M, which continues to age well.
Is hilarious how Notre Dame and Texas A&M, they're like the biggest fans of each other right now.
Oh, yeah. They're like, great, go. Keep winning.
Yes.
You know, keep doing your
thing.
Good
for you.
Yeah, it's funny, because I have bet against A&M this weekend, and I'm like, kind of want A&M to win by like 2, because that would be nice for me as a fan and also me as a bettor. But yeah, it is. Yeah, it's funny. And now you've got teams, like I mentioned with Alabama, like they would love a Louisville win over Clemson, right? Like, now those programs, like in Alabama and maybe to a lesser extent Texas, have kind of been used to not worrying about what else is out there. But Alabama is very much keeping an eye on the rest of the country, because at 10-2, like I mentioned, they probably should be in, but there are scenarios where You know, if Clemson shows up ahead of Bama on Tuesday, you're like, oh, this isn't great because Clemson is got the inside track to go to the college football playoff over us. But Alabama has a win over Georgia, and Clemson lost by 31 to Georgia. How much does that weigh in? And you know things like that will be brought up in the committee. Well, I can't wait for the contradiction of this when they bring up Alabama's win over Georgia, but they don't bring up as being a talking point versus them and Clemson, but they don't bring up the Nebraska game when it's Indiana and Ohio State. That's going to be great when they don't bring up those two.
Oh, I love, you can already like feel the people getting pre-mad.
Oh, yeah.
And, but like, I do think that this is entirely possible. I'm not defending this, but I also think it's possible that like we find out, they'll figure out a way to say it, but like diplomatically. But I think what they would probably, like a lot of this is going to be like, well, we think that there's probably five or six SEC teams that would win the Big 12.
Well, I mean, didn't Saban say it on game day?
I mean,
they should do it based off of power ratings, which is hilarious. It's like, I get it, man. Like I work in Vegas. Like I am pro power rating. Like I love power ratings. I use it all the time as a betting tool. But as we started this segment, the games have to matter. Like, at the end of the day, Vegas makes power ratings, sports bettors make power ratings, but what's the point if the games don't matter?
Here's where it's also, I think we're set up for, this could be like a delicious conspiracy theory year.
Oh, yeah.
Because we already know they had the meeting, and basically, you know, they told all the other leagues, if we don't start changing this playoff format for the Big Ten and the SEC like to favor it, we're going to leave you. And everybody's like, cool, we'll do it. Sign up. Yeah, just make sure we get an automatic bid. What if there's like an unspoken agreement of that's what's happening anyway this year?
I mean, right now, of the top seven in the AP poll that we know doesn't matter, but it's probably going to be very close to what the playoff committee puts out there. You've got three SEC, three Big Ten. And is that going to be it? Are those going to be the only teams that make it from those respective conferences? I wouldn't think so, but you never know.
Okay, obviously that'll be something we will obviously talk about on Tuesday when Tim comes back. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, Blake Topmeyer is going to join the program. But before we do that, I want to let you know that, of course, our program is brought to you by the good people at Birdies. 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. Don't forget about their membership options. $100 a month gets you 10 hours on the simulators, plus discounts on food and merch, and much, much more. You can see full details at golfatbirdies.com. golfatbirdies.com. Also, don't forget to follow them on Instagram at birdies901. Tomorrow night is Saturday night. Karaoke on Simulator 2 from 7 p.m. until close. They'll also be open on Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m. respectively, so you can go watch all the games, and you can do so while playing one of 600 courses worldwide on their outstanding simulators. You can even watch the game that you want to watch with the sound while playing on the simulators. golfatbirdies.com, 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. Blake Topmeyer coming up next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Blake, I feel like, was last week maybe the first week where it felt like we didn't have some type of like seismic shift or somebody wasn't dead maybe last week? I guess you could, to a certain degree, say LSU, but I still think that they're not dead until next week. But it felt like last week was a good week of watching, but I didn't feel like we had any grand takes at the end of the week.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, there were a couple teams that were in danger of upset. You know, we've seen so much of that this season, but last Saturday was the one where the favorites survived, you know, thinking about Ohio State in particular against Nebraska. That, you know, and we had some good games. We had, you know, LSU, Texas A&M shift in the middle, was all LSU in the first half, all A&M in the second half. And then we come out of that game talking about, oh, is Texas A&M for real? Can they really win the SEC? So, yeah, still an interesting Saturday, but you're right. Not one where we can say, someone moved to, off the playoff contention cliff. I guess you could say Missouri, but I think you and I had already, in effect, shoved them off the cliff. But then Alabama finished the process and launched them off.
And the thing is, I'm not even all that, like, I'm not even like downgrading them. It's just like if Drew Pine's going to be their quarterback, like I just don't believe in them.
Totally. And I mean, Missouri is kind of what we thought they were, I think. Dennis Green here.
Yeah.
Like, they're with Brady Cook in there, they're a good team. I don't think they're a playoff team. I mean, I don't think the outcome of that game against Alabama would have been different with Cook at the quarterback. It would have looked different on the scoreboard, but the outcome probably wouldn't have been different. But this is just sort of what Missouri was. It was masquerading as a playoff team because of a very soft schedule draw in the SEC, but ultimately this is, you know, with a normal schedule, this is like an 8-4, 9-3 type of team. You know, we were talking throughout the preseason about how many close escapes Missouri had last year, and now, you know, this year, what was that going to look like? Well, you know, it looks like an 8-4 team with a schedule that can get to 9-3 if their quarterback gets healthy, which sounds like Brady Cook's coming back at some point this season. And like from what we know of the mentality of that guy, like if there's any way for him to get back on the field, I think he will.
No, it is funny. I do think he's kind of a gamer. Like he's not my favorite quarterback, but I do always tip my cap to guys that I know that are just like tough. And I do think he kind of falls into that category, but is he a little undervalued maybe?
I think he always has been. Like he's one of those guys that like isn't even really valued by his own fan base. And I know,
yeah, you
know,
great
fans
question.
Everywhere. Yeah, fans everywhere want to see the backup quarterback, but usually like the fans of the teams that actually have the good quarterbacks kind of at some point recognize it. And I think until Brady Cook had his hospital game against Auburn, where, you know, he literally goes to the hospital in the middle of the game, gets evaluated for an injury and comes back from the hospital and rallies Missouri to victory, I think that was like the final moment for him of getting his own fan base off his back a little bit. Because I think he has been underappreciated for the last really season and a half, and that extends to Missouri fans. But, you know, I think now that Missouri fans have seen what's behind him, it's like, oh yes, please, Brady Cook, come back as soon as possible to make something of this season. Because if he comes back, I mean, you know, Missouri still has the schedule to get to 10-2, and I don't think they're going to be considered. They're not going to be considered a 10-2 because of the strength of schedule, because of how they lost to A&M and Alabama. But you know, 10-2 seasons are still celebrated in Columbia, Missouri.
I know we're all kind of like looking at the resumes and whatnot, but the one thing that I feel pretty confident is that I think there's still going to be more losses coming. Are we like, I feel like we're kind of writing people off too soon. Do you think I'm misguided in that?
I don't know. I kind of go the other way because and maybe I just am a chaos theory type of guy, and I'm looking and like, oh, look at all these teams that could be 11-1, 10-2. What on earth is the committee going to do? I think it's going to be a crowded bubble, and so, you know, I think it's it's fair to say a team like Missouri, their bubble has popped. Because I do think it's going to be pretty crowded. And I don't know what the committee's going to do if, you know, there's 3 one-loss teams from the Big 12. I mean, obviously the conference champion's going to get in. But is that it? What do you do with the other 2 one-loss teams? What do you do in the ACC when Clemson beats Miami in the conference championship? You got to put them both in, right? Well, I just think it can.
Well, and then what if SMU's undefeated,
right?
And not in it?
I think it's going to get really crowded really fast. I guess I'm kind of the other way. Like I agree with you. There's a couple teams that we're still labeling contenders as like they're going to lose at some point. You know, at some point the bubble's going to clear a little bit, but I still think we're going to come to selection day and it's going to feel like a crowded bubble. And it's like there's only going to be 7 at-large spots for 10 teams that we or 10 or 11 teams, you know, that type of number that we feel like are in contention. I mean, right now it's way more than that. So it is going to clear some, but I don't think it's going to clear so much that it's going to be easy on the committee. I think, you know, when we look back on the 4-team playoff era, there was only a couple years where the committee really had difficult choices in front of them. Most years, it was taking care of them for them on the field. It's not going to totally be like that this year. It's going to be a real selection process, and the thing that's going to drive fans nuts is the lack of transparency. This committee has very little transparency. Even their strength of schedule that they use from Sports Source Analytics, that's not available to the public. That's not available to the media. So strength of schedule is one of the key criterion that's going to be evaluated by this selection committee, and you're just going to have to take their word for it because you don't get to see those strength of schedule standings. And, the thing with the BCS is, like, no one totally understood, other than maybe a handful of people, what all went into coming up with those formulas, but they did show you the rankings every
week. At least gave us all the numbers.
Yeah, they gave you the numbers that the computer spit out. Here, like I said, I think the lack of transparency is going to drive people nuts. And the selection process for the NCAA tournament, there's always some controversy around that, but like at least you know the numbers they're evaluating. They're evaluating your net ranking or whatever they call it now.
Don't forget those quad one and two wins, and don't forget those quad
right.
four
yeah,
losses.
The quad one, the quad two, and we can like make fun of it and say like, why on earth do they have these weird metrics? Quad one, quad two wins, but at least you know that's what they're evaluating, and you can look up at any given time and find out what your team's record is against quad one teams. The football process is just a total 180. We had a conference call with the new executive director of the CFP, Rich Clark, and it's like, hey, seems like a nice guy, to quote, what's that movie I'm thinking of? Seems like a nice guy. He didn't have a lot of answers as far as the transparency of this
process.
Well,
he's perfect for the job.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we love our boy Bill Hancock, but I mean, that guy could give you non-answers unlike anyone, and he just cashed, you know, about $2 million bucks a year. I guess you're right. I think we're reaching the same conclusion. I'm probably, my mechanics are getting there. It's like, I just feel like it's going to be a very crowded field, and then we're going to start parsing it. And that's why I almost think, I know we've got Penn State and Ohio State, and, you know, God love them, James Franklin or Ryan Day is going to win a top five game for the second time in each his career, I think. But I almost think Tuesday's more interesting than Saturday.
Well, especially with this weekend of games, right? Yeah, I mean, Penn State, Ohio State's the biggie, but if you wanted to, and, you know, I'm saying people are going to do this, not recommended it, but if you wanted to, you could shut off your TV at 3 p.m. Central Time after Penn State and Ohio State is done playing and say, okay, I'll wait till Tuesday and see what else shakes out, because it is one of the weaker Saturdays of games we've had. I mean, SMU Pitt kind of has a big one for playoff purposes later at night, but I think we're both kind of wondering, like, are either of these teams the real deal? Are either of them a playoff team? Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think the first playoff rankings is the real drama here once we get past Penn State and Ohio State, because, you know, in past years, yeah, I was all about kind of who was going to be 4, 5, and 6. But let's face it, you could pretty well predict within about one spot apiece where teams were going to be ranked in the top six in the rankings, and that's all that really mattered in a given week. You know, if you weren't in the top six, you weren't really relevant at that moment. And yeah, you could work your way up in subsequent weeks, but now it just, you know, that glob of teams from ranked from like number 8 through, I don't know, 16, 18, they're all going to be contenders. They're all going to be arguing. If you're, you know, if you're 16, you're going to really think you should be 13. And if you're 13, you're going to think you should be 10. It's going to be filled with so much controversy. There's going to be so little explanation. And I think it really just comes down to the whims of the committee. If we're being quite frank about it, I mean, they can say, oh, we look at strength of schedule, you know, your opponent's records, your opponent's records. I'm sorry. It comes down to the whims of the committee, the subjective eye test. And maybe that's fine. Like, I'm not saying, you know, there's a better method for this. I do think the computer system, looking back on it, was maybe better than we thought. I didn't like the fact that the playoff only had two teams in it, but the way they got to those two teams, I mean, that's probably as fair as anything. But I don't know. I mean, real humans doing it maybe makes it more interesting. I don't know if it makes it fairer, but I just think everybody's going to have a grievance that doesn't get in. And I think for a lot of teams, they will be fair grievances, but there's only going to be 7 at-large spots. And, you know, if the SEC is getting 3 of them and the Big Ten's getting 2 of them and Notre Dame's getting 1 of them, I mean, they start filling up pretty darn fast.
Well, and to me, what I'm more interested in is, because you're right, like in the end, also, this one doesn't even matter. It's the last one that matters. But I am curious to see if they kind of tip their hand on anything. Like, are we going to find out? Like, you and I talked about it. Like, we can debate, you know, until the cows come home, whether or not Florida State got screwed. Like, but in the end, what I actually thought was the most important aspect of that is they basically told us in plain English, the ACC doesn't matter. It's not the same. Yep. And I'm curious to know, because as you point out, there's at least the possibility that they get 2. I mean, there's a realistic possibility they could conceivably get 3, but I'm curious to know how they view the ACC, how do they view the Big 12, and are we going to find out, hey, this is really just a Big 10 SEC party and everybody else is going to get, you know, everybody else gets a courtesy invite, but really that's what we're looking at? Or are they really going to say, hey, we're trying to find the 12 best teams from the United States of America? Like, that's what actually fascinates me.
Yeah, where is BYU, which has an open date, so they can't lose Saturday, they're going to be undefeated, 8-0, with a win over SMU, one of the better teams in the ACC, where are they going to be ranked?
Right.
You know, where is, if Iowa State beats, I think they got Texas Tech Saturday, where are they going to be ranked? Miami, which I think is number 5 in the AP and coaches polls, went on the road, blew out Florida in week 1. If they beat Duke Saturday, where are they at? You know, where is the winner of the SMU Pitt game going to be at? And they can jimmy around the rankings as much as they want at the end to get the teams that they want in. I mean, you know, consistently, Florida State last year was ahead of Alabama all the way, and then, yeah, Alabama got a signature victory at the end. They beat Georgia. Florida State beat Louisville in kind of an ugly fashion, and then
sure they did.
They do a little hocus pocus and they flip Alabama into the playoff. So they can do whatever they want at the end. But I do think you're right. Like, if the ACC and Big 12 aren't getting any love in this initial rankings, that is huge cause for concern for those conferences. Now, if they're getting love in the early rankings, it's no guarantee that they won't still flip the Big 10 and SEC teams ahead of them at the end. But I would be really concerned, you know, if I'm an SMU fan or if I'm an Iowa State, BYU, Kansas State fan, and you're not getting any love on the front end, I don't think they're going to look into their crystal ball at the back end and say, we see Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, staring back at us from this crystal ball. We better find a way to get another Big 12 team in. Like, no, that's not going to happen. You know, if you're a fan of one of those Big 12 ACC teams, you want to see your conferences getting some front-end respect, because it's not going to rally at the end.
No, because I'm with you. Like, let's say Penn State wins on the field, but it's another, you know, let's say it's a game within a field goal, and we find out that two loss Ohio State, but they have the two losses by a combined 4 points, and they're to the number one and to the number two teams, and then like two loss Ohio State's like fifth and ahead of all those schools. Like, I think that's a tell. Now, do I suspect that's what will happen? No, but like that is, I am, because I'm with you. Like, they can rearrange it to be the way they want. But they do, for the most part, they kind of let you know how they're thinking, or at least they show you the blueprint. If you want to use your NCAA tournament analogy, you know, if you have to pick the 68 teams, going 68 for 68 is not that easy. But going like 65 for 68 is pretty easy. Now, maybe you miss a seed line, you know, here and there, but getting the actual teams is not that difficult, because you can kind of figure out, you can kind of reverse engineer their process. And I feel like for the most part during the playoff era, we've kind of been able to more or less reverse engineer their process. Last year being the one outlier, but at the same time, it's like you couldn't get over the fact of what Florida State looked like with Brock Glenn as their quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And I think it's just going to be, you bring up a good point with Ohio State, because it's going to be interesting to see what do they do with a team like that. Because when it comes to Ohio State, if they lose to Penn State on Saturday, in my mind, I'm not sure they're a playoff team. And I know there's no denying their talent. There's no denying what their ceiling could be. You know, if they have their best fastball on a given day, but that's not supposed to be what the selection process is, right? It's not supposed to be,
theoretical.
Oh, well, if you put it all together on your best day, you could be a national championship contender. That's not what it's supposed to be. And if Ohio State loses to Penn State, even if it's close, yeah, the committee can say, well, you lost to two good teams by two close margins. But I'm big on the who did you play and who did you beat? Not who did you play and who did you lose to, but who did you beat? And I know losing to good teams helps your strength of schedule. But for me, at the end of the day, you need to beat somebody. And Ohio State's not going to have much to hold up if they're sitting there with two losses to Oregon and Penn State. Now they do get Indiana later in the season, and so that would be a different story. If they got off the mat and beat Indiana, then maybe they could rally up at the polls. But yeah, if they're still ranked, like, you know, in like the 8, 9, 10 spot with a loss to Penn State, that would tell me they're going to be safe just as long as they beat Indiana. If they're a little bit lower in the rankings, that tells me, like, okay, they have to beat Indiana, and even then, I'm not sure if they're in. Because it just is, I don't know that the Big Ten, I don't know if they can get four. It's going to start getting really tight if the SEC starts piling in all these 11-1 and 10-2 teams. If Notre Dame doesn't lose again, I mean, that Notre Dame win against Texas A&M just continues to look better and better. I know they lost to Northern Illinois, which remains ahead.
It's hilarious how both teams have kind of locked arms. Like, they're both each other's best friends now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely they are. And Notre Dame's win against Navy will count as a good win. They still got Army left. Like, what looks like a joke of a Notre Dame schedule at the beginning of the season is still not a great schedule by any means. But with the service academies actually being pretty good this year, like, that schedule started to look a little better as the season unfolded, and then that win against Texas A&M looks better and better with each passing week. And so unless Notre Dame loses again, they're getting in at 11-1. They're not going to be held out just because they lost to Northern Illinois. That I just don't see any world in which that happens. So, you know, that leaves six at-large spots for four leagues, and I still say the SEC is claiming three of them. And so then you're down to three at-large spots for three leagues. And how many is the Big Ten getting? I just think the math is it's going to tilt away. And in my opinion, it's going to tilt away from the Big 12 and the ACC pretty darn fast.
Yeah, I guess the one question, and I also think where they rank Clemson matters. Because to your point, like, it is funny how I feel like we're just living like the Feinbaum show, like old school Feinbaum show in real life when we talk about the playoff. I feel like you can basically go to every good team. Well, who have they beaten? But, like, Clemson has gotten off the mat since losing to Georgia. But, like, if you want to pick apart their resume, it's like, okay, there's not really anything quality there. But, like, what if we find out, hey, they view what Clemson has done as good? Or maybe they tip their hand and they tell us like they haven't done anything. Like that's one of the teams that I think is interesting to see where they place them.
Right, and how do they value margin of victory? Like I don't discredit.
Remember in the BCS when teams would just run it up.
Yeah, the style points. Yeah,
and they tried
to like dissuade us from that now and say like, you know, it's more about like how you look than what the actual scoreboard says.
But
like,
what does that mean? Like,
what's that?
And what does that mean?
Yeah, right. It seemed like Indiana that okay, they haven't played much, but it says something to me that they go out every week and destroy their opponent.
People.
I mean, you know, they took apart Nebraska 1 week before Nebraska gave Ohio State everything it could handle for four quarters. Like,
did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com